lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Christmas is a time when there are gifts to buy, meals to prepare, and guest lists to finalize. Well, Christmas is a wonderful time of year that we all enjoy. It's a time when we have the opportunity to gather with our friends and loved ones in celebration of the birth of our Savior. But you and I need to remember not to allow the busyness of the season, the gifts, food, and friends, and so forth, to cloud our vision of what we are truly celebrating. Many people will have a birthday celebration this year and forget the honored guest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep the emphasis on Christ and what His coming to earth means to us. Had He not come and submitted to the Father's will, we would have little to celebrate in this life. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus speaking, He said, "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Well, Jesus did come, and you know, Isaiah lived some 700 years prior to the birth of Christ, and yet he was already looking forward to that glorious day when God would become flesh and dwell among us. I want to take just a few moments to examine Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 as we seek to discover the profound truth it reveals concerning the prophetic promise of a special child. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Well, we see in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 several things, and we see, you know, I see that there's a special child who will be given. And notice this, we go to the New Testament and we read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, we see a son is given for salvation. Matthew 1, chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Well, the Lord leaves no one out of his plan. Notice the word us in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says us, and Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. We'll read that again in just a few moments. Well, what we find in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 is the comfort and hope. He says, "For unto us a child is born." Our blessed Lord came to redeem us from our sin. He came to ransom the lost from condemnation. Christ did not come on a fact-finding mission. Christ did not come to discover the affairs of men so that he might report back to the Father. He came with a plan and a purpose to save humanity from their sins. John 3:16, that familiar verse says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Christ came for me. He came for you. He came for whosoever will. What a blessing. Christ came so that we could be saved and forgiven of our sin. He came so that we could be reconciled to the Father. Christ came for us. Well, the question goes out, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says that. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Well, we look further in the New Testament, and we see in John chapter 6 and verse 38, we see Christ's submission. John 6, 38 says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Well, in this submission, we see this, his humility. Luke chapter 19, verse 41 says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Well, many times people fail to see the great importance of his incarnation. You say, what does that word mean? Well, incarnation means the manifestation of God. In other words, his appearing. Now, as I speak, I'm not talking about a child who was born and achieved greatness in this life. I'm talking about the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, laying aside the glory that he possessed and veiling his deity in a body of flesh. The King of glory humbled himself to be born of a virgin and dwell among men. He willingly left the splendors of heaven to come and dwell upon this earth, knowing that he would have no place to call his own, that he would be misunderstood and rejected, ultimately being condemned to death and dying upon a cross. Well, I don't know about you, but it humbles me when I pause and consider all that Jesus did so that we could be saved, so that I could be saved. What Jesus did definitely sheds new light on our petty complaints and difficulties. You see, the Bible says he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. Well, I not only see in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 salvation, I not only see submission, but in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, I see also sacrifice. His sacrifice. The Bible says in that verse, Isaiah 9, 6, "Unto us a son is given." In Christ's sacrifice, there is a difference. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Jesus was not an ordinary child. This was and is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Of course, that's God the Father speaking of his Son, Jesus Christ. He was given for the sins of the world. God the Father offered his only begotten Son so that we could receive salvation. Christ wasn't asked to come and dwell among men just to heal the sick, raise the dead, and give counsel to the wayward. These were all great and powerful miracles that he performed, but that is not why he came. Well, why did he come? I'm glad you asked that question, because Christ came to offer himself as the perfect sacrifice for sin. He came to purchase our redemption on the cross. The cross was not some horrible accident. It was not an event that happened when things got out of hand. It was not plan B in God's great wisdom. From the moment that Christ was born, Calvary was in view. He was well aware that in God's time, he would lay down his life for mankind according to God's foreordained plan. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10 says, It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Yes, I see a sacrifice, the sacrifice of my Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, I see salvation. I see submission. I see his sacrifice. And I also see Christ's sovereignty. The Bible says there in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." This speaks of his future kingdom. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Well, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 is probably one of the passages that caused the Jews confusion while Christ dwelt upon the earth. Well, why would that be? Well, you see, the Jews were looking for a king. They were looking for a king to deliver them from the bondage of Rome. Isaiah is looking beyond the life and death of Christ to his future reign here upon the earth. Many have viewed the life of Christ as a failure. He rose from obscurity, coming from among poverty. He never sat upon a throne as far as human government is concerned. His ministry only lasted a few years, and he was put to death. Many have believed that it was over at the tomb. In other words, it was finished at the tomb. Our blessed Lord bled and died upon the cross, and he was buried. But praise the Lord, the tomb was not the end. He completely fulfilled the will of God by offering himself a sacrifice for humanity. His life and death were in accordance to God's sovereign plan. Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. One of the things that he said, it is finished. He came to do the Father's will, and he was completing God's will, dying upon the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for this lost and dying world. He shed his blood for you and for me. Christ came the first time as a sacrificial lamb, being despised and rejected of his own. He was scourged and crucified with a crown of thorns upon his head. Some who saw him crucified on that day no doubt thought that Christ was a failure and a false prophet. Well, I've got great news. Christ was not a failure. I rejoice in the Lord that his birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection is not the end in regard to the plan of God. Christ is coming again, and the second time there won't be a crown of thorns, only a crown of glory. He will come in great power to establish his kingdom here upon the earth. He may have been rejected the first time, but he will be honored and worshiped at his second coming. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. And we read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those verses surely do not sound like one who is defeated, but one who possesses all power. I see in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, salvation, submission, sacrifice, sovereignty. And I also see Christ's supremacy. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 describes the name that is above every name. Christ is called Wonderful. This has the idea of being supernatural and extraordinary. Most assuredly, there is nothing ordinary or common about our Lord. He is the exalted Savior. As I think about his blessings and benefits, I realize that no one else has done for me what Christ has done. He alone secured my salvation. He has secured me. He has reconciled me to God and promised me eternal life in heaven. And our Lord is far from ordinary. Our Lord is wonderful. Do you know him today as your Savior? Why not trust him this year? Now, before Christmas, ask him to come into your heart right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Please come into my heart and save me right now. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.